Tremendous times where the Lord could do just about all of His Word, just finish it right up just about any time now. So we want to be ready, always ready to respond. Amen. You have your Bibles, just go ahead and open up. Now we're going into midweek service with a desire to not be lengthy, and of course that's really probably out of the hands of man to do that, but that's our intention anyway, so we don't get out too late. So let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1. We begin reading in verse 17, and it's up on the screen there if you want to look at it up there. James chapter 1 verse 17 through 19. And the scripture says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, whose will? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, because of this, because of what? Because he chose us, right? Because he chose us, we didn't have anything to do with it. There's no big one among us, nobody, right? He's the one that did it. Because of this, wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Not swift to speak, right? Swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Why? Because we're nothing. We didn't call ourselves, right? So we ought to tread in humility, right? That's what we should do. We should tread in humility. I'm going to call this tonight a sermon, the gift of life. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our precious Lord and Savior, as we get into the meat and the most important part of the service tonight, Lord, is for Your Word to come forth, to speak to the hearts of Your people, and Lord, to help them in their journey as we walk down these sodden roads of clay, Lord, knowing that we come from that same dust. Lord, we just realize that in Your presence we should have humility and be thankful for You coming and getting involved in our lives and making something, Lord, out of us who were nothing. So, Lord, tonight as we come into this service, we just ask, God, that You would come among us. And let Your word come forth, Lord. Let that which is important be imparted to Your people tonight. And may each one of us sit at Your feet and listen and learn, Lord, from Your great Holy Spirit tonight as You minister Your words to us. We each one give You the preeminence, Lord, to go whatever direction You want now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Gift of life. You know, the scripture we just read, it said that every good gift, right? There's all kinds of gifts. You know, the devil will give you a gift. You know that? But God gives people gifts. He ascended on high, gave gifts to men, and He gave fivefold ministry. God gives gifts. And the scripture said every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above. Comes down from our Father, the Father of lights. And it said He was Father of lights, so He must have children who are children of light, or that are our lights. And so every good gift comes from God.
Yep.
I believe, you know, Brother Branham said it this way. He said the best thing that God can give a man outside of salvation is a good wife. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If he's got a good wife, it comes from God.
That's right.
Right? And so we want to be thankful for that, those that have good wives and realize it. And maybe some people think they don't have a good wife, but if they just treat her halfway decent, they might find out that she is. But those gifts and those things come from God. And so the best gift that he could give us outside of salvation would be a good wife. That's for a man. And though I don't think Brother Branham said it this way, but I think we could probably assume the same thing, is that one of the best things that God could give a woman would be a good godly man too. Because he, in the natural, is a redeemer like the Lord is in the spiritual. And so he gives us these wonderful, perfect gifts. But the best gift that he could give a man is salvation. And that's what Brother Branham called it, salvation. But I want to expand that salvation to mean to us eternal life. The best thing that God can give us is give us life. That's the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. Everybody agree with that? Yep. To give us salvation, to be able to be saved from our sins and from the things that Satan would want to perpetrate and has perpetrated upon us. God gave us this great gift of eternal life to the believers, to those that are ordained for it. And we want to thank him for that. You know, so I remember... I started to say this a while ago, Brother Brandon, one time in discernment, he said, the Lord was speaking, and he said, people need to respond when the Holy Spirit moves, respond when God speaks and when he does something. Yeah. And so I really think that our attitude and what we do with what God has done has a whole lot to do with how the blessings will flow or how they won't flow. Amen. And so, if he's given us life, the best gift he could give us, we really ought to hold that in high regard.
Yes.
We should hold that in higher regard than anything else. Right?
That's right.
We should hold that in higher regard than anything else. Just no questions asked. So he gives us this gift of life or eternal life. And see, God has it. He's the only form of eternal life. Right? Only God. The angels don't have it. Satan sure don't have it.
That's right.
We don't have it in ourselves, see? God is the only form of eternal life. He is the one that all these things, he's the only one that truly is eternal, right?
Yeah.
See, because everything else was made by him. But he was eternal, and he has attributes that are eternal. Mm-hmm. His thoughts were always there. He didn't learn, so he has eternal attributes and eternal characteristics about him, but he's the one who's eternal. So God is the one that has this eternal life, and it's a sacred thing to him. Brother Ram tells us in Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ that life is a sacred thing to God, and it's recorded in a book. We know that is to be the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life. So God is the author of life. Do you believe that? And the congregation says, Amen. Brother Ram says, our natural life here we have is just a perversion.
That's right.
How many get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you see yourself and say, you're a perversion? Because we are. And I'm saying it because you can say, well, I'm not perverted, because there's a lot of perversion in the world. But you understand what I'm saying. We should look at that and say, like what I mentioned the other day, don't identify with the guy that you see in there. You identify with the voice of God and the Word of God.
Amen.
But you can look in the mirror and say, what I'm looking at is a perverted thing. And so what God has, the real thing that God has is much better than what I see in the mirror when I get up in the morning. And so, so it's a sacred thing to God. And it's in a book. He said the natural life that we have, it's a perversion. It really should be the right life to begin with. But it's perverted by natural birth. Now listen to what he's saying there. It's perverted by natural birth. The first life, or your first union, you were joined in at birth by nature, a natural act, and a natural human being associated, man and woman together, associated together in sexual affair, which brought your life here, and that's associated with sin and death. He says, how can you miss seeing the serpent's seed? And so he's contrasting here the difference between the life that we're familiar with so much and an eternal life. And he said, this is just a perversion. It should have been the right thing. But because of the fall and because of the way we came, that way is associated with sin and with death. Now, we say everyone is born of woman. is full of, you know, a man born a woman is just a few days and full of trouble and that sort of thing. But you see, Jesus was birthed, the natural birth process. He was born out of Mary the same way I was for my mother, right? But his conception was different.
That's right.
Right? Because no part of him was Mary and no part of him was Joseph, right? Because that holy thing that's be formed in you, God created that in him. And so it wasn't the fact that she carried him that was the problem. It wasn't the fact that she birthed him through her birth canal. That wasn't the problem, right? What the problem is goes back is how the thing come into being.
That's right.
That's the problem, right? And so that's what he's telling us here. But he tells us that life is a sacred thing to God. Now, if life is a sacred thing to God, oughtn't it to be to us?
Amen.
Where are you, Muslims?
Yep.
What kind of religion you got? Think about it.
Right.
Because life is sacred. God even pours out his blessings on the just and the unjust. Right? He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Right? So, we ought to hold it in high regard also. And the ways that produce and the ways that bring life, this real life, the literal life we're talking about, we should have those things in high regard. We shouldn't treat them like they're nothing. We shouldn't let them become common to us.
Yep.
Right? And I'm talking about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The Word of God, the way we approach God in prayer, even if it's just to pray over your food, we should stop and say, wait a minute. I'm fixing to approach the one who's the author of life, who's blessed me with these things.
Amen.
And I'm going to stop just, if I have to do it, I'm going to stop just for a moment and say, calm down a minute. Put your mind on what you're fixing to do. You're coming before a holy God, a just
yes.
God.
Amen.
That we ought to be approaching with thankfulness, with high regard. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's
what we should do. And so, you know, halfway pray or halfway, we should sanctify our approach to God. We should hold these things in high regard.
Yes.
And so, this gift of life, God in His own presence, that's where it comes from. And so, as we've said so many times in communion, when He gives communion, He's given of Himself. So this gift of life is the presence of God. It's the gift of God in Himself, because He's the one that has it. And it was a sacred thing to him. You know what? He says in the scriptures, don't cast your pearl before swine, right? Because they'll trample on it. Something you hold in high regard, and you'll throw it out to the hogs, and you know what they're going to do? The hog that Brother Daniel was talking about Sunday. Mm-hmm. He's going to trample on it. It's going to be pushed down into the mud, into filth, something you hold in high regard.
Yep.
So even God doesn't cast his pearl before swine. God doesn't just lay that revelation of Jesus Christ out there just to anybody.
That's right.
Because he holds it in high regard. See? So we should hold it in high regard. We should be careful how we mix and mingle in those things with the world. I know we need to rub shoulders and, you know, be an influence, but you understand, you just don't go out and just tell everything to anybody.
That's right.
You should follow the leading of the Lord and let Him guide you in how much and when and what to share when you share with others. Because if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it, it'll always be a success.
Yep.
It'll always be something that is good for the kingdom of heaven. And so, this comes from God. He holds it in high regard. And, you know, this life that we're talking about that comes from Him, it's the only life that can actually produce Him. Okay? We have a commission as believers to go out into the world, preach the gospel, and demonstrate the gospel, and let people see God. But the only way you can truly do that is if you have the life of God in you. Now, there's a lot of imitation. A lot of people try to do that. But you can't do it unless you truly have Him in you. And then if you have Him in you, He'll do what He said He'll do. So this is only, this gift of life is the only thing that can produce Him. Satan can't do it. Now remember, God's the only creator. Satan's not a creator. You know, they try to say, yeah, back in Genesis that angels came down and pushed themselves into human flesh and begin to marry women and so forth. That's what they claim, you know, when it's sons of God. Or, well, first of all, a holy angel wouldn't do such a filthy thing.
Right.
It'd have to be fallen angels if they did, see? But what you're giving them the credibility to be able to come down and do something they couldn't do. Right? It's close to the truth because Satan did anoint the serpent, but you got to realize the serpent had a body that was compatible.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only way it could work was through that one that was compatible. But these fallen angels didn't come down and push themselves into flesh and become something because they're not creators. They can't do it. And the only thing that they could have done would have been through the serpent, but he was changed by this time. See, he got changed in the garden. So it's just, you know, that this is a good example where the interpretation of Scripture, that interpretation will come from other Scripture. And the Scripture will dovetail with Scripture. And you'll tell a story that's got continuity to it and no breaks in it. It'll tell it just smooth and straight. So you can't come along and say Satan's the creator because it don't fit anywhere else in the Scriptures.
Right.
See? Satan can't even cast out Satan or his kingdom's divided. Mm-hmm. Right? I think he's got a little more sense than some people would give him credit for.
Yeah.
Okay? So Satan don't have this. And he's not a creator. Only God is a creator. Now when we say that, I want you to think about third bull. Because third pull has everything in the world to do with creation. And third pull, we understand, cannot be mimicked. It's not even a public showing. It can't even be something done out where we can even say, look at this, this is what it is. So much. See, it wasn't even a public showing. It's just something that God does in a secret place in the midst of his genuine elect believers that Satan can't touch it. Satan don't know nothing about it. Because God keeps it hid from him. You know, Brother Ram said that if the devil had the Holy Ghost, he'd be your brother.
That's right. That's what he said.
And you know he ain't that.
No.
He can't have the Holy Ghost. See, but you can. See?
Right.
You can have it, and that means you get a communication with Almighty God on the secrets of God, and Satan's standing out there wishing he knew what it's all about, because he can't touch it. See?
Yeah.
He just can't touch it at all. And so it's the life, the nature of this one I'm talking about, of God. Creative power, something that he exhibits that no one else can express. Only he and only he who he expresses himself through in that manner can express this third pull creative power ability. Well, Satan is equal with God in every way except that.
Yeah.
Now you think about this. Can you imagine the position that Satan had one day there? That he was right next to God, and anybody that would come and approach God would come through him, and he orchestrated all that, you know.
Right.
But he couldn't have that one thing.
Mm-hmm. Think about it.
He couldn't have that one thing. And then he gets himself in trouble and he gets kicked out, and you know he's got a chip on his shoulder now because God kicked him out because he thought he could take over, and he got whooped.
Yep.
So he gets kicked off and out, and he comes down here. And he's already mad, and then all of a sudden he looks over and he sees the family of God, the children of God, and God starts imparting to them, and they start exhibiting this creative power in their own life.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's going to make him really mad?
Sure.
It sure will. It'll make him furious. And so, because Satan don't have it, God has it. Creative power, and it cannot be imitated. So it's not tongues. Because tongues can be imitated. It's not shouting, because shouting can be imitated. It's not running the aisles, right? Because running the aisles can be inspired from the devil.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not a great music program, because he can outdo all of us in that.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what is it then? It's not a big organization, because he's got big organizations. What is it then? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of time we're looking for something and thinking, oh, this is spiritual and this is great, and it ain't got nothing to do with it because it's something to be imitated.
Right.
But in the midst of all the mechanics of all that, there can be, in those mechanics, a real genuine seed of God that's producing things that are like that because they're a real genuine child of God. And yet there's all these others can produce those things like that and be from some other spirit, a different thing. And so, you can't look on the outward, you have to look on the inward. You have to look on what's inside, and you'll see that inside it has to agree with the Word.
Yes.
And then, if it agrees with the Word, then it has to show on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, don't look on the outside. Go to the inside and see if it's right. And then if it's right, look for the signs to follow. As Brother Daniel said the other day, signs follow the believers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go out there and try to make them happen. They just follow you.
That's right.
They just follow you. I found out that if God opens a doorway to witness to somebody, they get inspired. They get blessed. They walk away and they know they've seen an angle and a level of the Word of God that they've never seen before.
Right.
See? So what am I saying? You're doing what God called you to do, and the signs follow.
That's right.
Now, you say, well, that wasn't a healing or a great miracle or something like that. For someone to be inspired away from, even briefly, away from the mentality of the world into the things of God, that's a great thing to me. Because that's how it works. One man will sow and another waters, but God gives the increase. And so, Satan can't have it. Now, this life that we're talking about, gift of life, it's like every other form of life. It comes from a birth. Think about that. Where did we all come from? We came from our parents.
Yeah.
Right? In the natural, we came from our parents. But life comes by birth. And so I can't seem to get away from the birth pains, the message the other day that I was wanting to share, and it's still on me to talk about that. But it comes from a birth, and it's not our will. We touched on that a while ago. Of his own will begat he us. But I want us to turn to John chapter 1, begin reading at verse 8. St. John chapter 1, verse 8, so you'll have it on the board. And this is another place in Scripture. It tells the same thing. Now this is talking about John. John was not that light, okay? He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Talking about John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Okay? He was sent to bear witness of the light, and he's talking about Jesus, okay? And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Who was the world made by? Christ, Jesus Christ the Word. So he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Right? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Right? Now, if you put that back up just for a moment, that last one. Now, we all were born, and there was water, and there was blood. See?
Yeah.
So it says, which were, talking about sons of God, to them that believed on him, he gave him power to become sons of God, which were born. And it's not talking about natural birth, so he says it's not by natural birth. It's not a birth that's of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man. But this is a birth that comes from the will of God. Of his own will begat he us. Tied it back to James. See? So he births us. He births children. So all the children of God have to come by birth. Right? Everyone. Ain't nobody going to be there if they don't come by a birth into the kingdom of heaven. And so, even though I think, to me personally, this is my way of looking at it, but even over at the end of the millennium, when people come up and they're judged according to the works and they're given life because of being good to the bride or to the brethren, to me, that'll be a birth. They'll be birthed into that reality of that kingdom at that time. It's just a different route. But we all have to be birthed, because the wickedness and the things of the past can't be there. You understand what I'm saying? So there has to be a transition of something new that comes forth. And so this life, this gift of life, comes from a birth. And it comes from the will of God. He is our parent. He's our parent.
Yeah.
Right? It was his will that brought us here. Now I want to tell you something. How many has heard of something called a stillbirth? You know what a stillbirth is? When they go through all the nine months and they have a birth and there's water and there's blood And this baby comes out, and it's all the mechanics is there, but the breath of life never comes in for some reason. The spirit never comes and animates.
Right?
Could you imagine what it'd be like for a mommy to have a baby, stillborn, and wrap that baby up in her arms and go carry it and go to her friends and to all her family and say, look at my baby, I had a baby. Isn't it cute? And it's stillborn. It wouldn't take very long until somebody would say, you know what, we need to take this person and put them in a straitjacket and go have them evaluated.
Yeah.
Right? Because they'd be going around. But do you realize that's what denominational religion produces?
Yeah.
Denominational religion produces all the mechanics, but no life.
That's right.
And they're running around saying, look at me, I'm a Christian, I've got the birth.
Yeah.
But it's not there.
Right.
They can go to church, they can pay their tithes, they can do all these things, and be ever so involved in the things, more than we could, probably some of them. And yet there'd be no life there. So it's a stillborn situation. So we would look at that and say, well, that's, and we do. We understand that's just not good. So there's many, many stillbirths out there. But this life comes by birth, and it cannot be reversed. I've said this many times. When something's born, you can't unbirth it.
Right.
Right? You cannot reverse that. It takes upon a life of its own. When I say a life of its own, obviously it has a nature. So a child of God, when they're birthed into the kingdom of heaven, they reach a point in their life where they are guaranteed they're going to be there. Because
yeah.
You can't reverse that. God's not going to kill his own children. He don't curse his own children. So they're birthed into that kingdom. They're guaranteed to be there, and you can't undo that.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what happens. It cannot be reversed. But you see, with every birth, there has to be birth pains. I said the other day, God don't have cesarean section births. He doesn't.
Right.
That's something man's done, and I realized way back when they'd do it, when somebody was dying, a woman would be dying or had just died, and they would do that to save the baby, or maybe she was so bad off, they knew they couldn't help her, and they would do it to save the baby, that sort of thing. Now it's become a common thing. They push for that. See, they push for that. But my point is that man's always trying to take away the pain of the fall and the curse. See, by the sweat of thy brow, right, we'll till the ground. And we come along and create everything in the world to make it to where we don't have to sweat anymore.
Yeah.
And die in the process at a younger age.
Right.
When God said that, he meant it for a purpose. And when he said that a woman's sorrow and childbearing would be greatly, there's a reason why he said that.
Yeah.
Right? And we come along and try to reverse that, and it don't work. The best way is God's original way to begin with.
Yeah.
We believe that. And so, there has to be pain. If it's going to be delivered the right way, then you're going to have pain.
Yeah.
Now, the denominations will tell you, if you want to be saved, if you want to be birthed in the kingdom of heaven, just come up and shake the pastor's hand. Or just put your name on our book. Or just come up here and repeat after me. But there's no travail in that. There's no pain in that. There's no sorrow in that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A dry-eyed confession don't go very far with me. I just don't believe it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's just hard to believe that. I'm not saying it might be possible. I'm not going to try and put everything all in a box, but you understand what I'm saying, generally speaking. I don't know that there's ever been a woman who gave birth to a baby hardly that didn't, but what, she didn't know something was going on.
Yeah.
I know you hear these stories about different things, but you know, generally speaking, there's pain. So there has to be, that's God provided way, there has to be a pain to bring that birth. And as I said on Sunday, it's the actual pains, the cramps, the muscle spasms, and I don't know because I'm not a female,
yeah.
But it's that that's working on that birth canal to make preparation so that baby can be delivered. Is that right, sisters? Isn't that what causes it? That's what causes her to dilate? Is all that, isn't that what it is? It's all that's going on, that working? And so, whether that's exactly how it's explained, I don't know. But it takes the birth pains to bring forth that child. And we, as I mentioned the other day, Jesus mentioned it, that whenever a woman's in travail, she's in sorrow, and she's, you know, it's such a terrible thing, but as soon as the child is born, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've been there. I have seen it. As soon as that baby comes out, everything changes. Mama's, you know, the pain, you know, it totally, and she's probably sitting there still in pain, but everything changes because that baby's been birthed.
Amen.
Why? Well, first of all, that pain that she was going through is subsiding, going away. She's not going to have it anymore. Not with that birth. But that's done, and that baby's born, and it takes upon itself a nature of its parents, and now it's, you understand what I'm saying. But we have to expect that in our own walk with God. We can't sit around and just treat the Word of God and His gospel in low regard. You know, it's got to be that there's got to be some remorse that comes in. We have to realize. And that's one reason why it scares the daylights out of me in this generation, because nobody wants to be remorseful for their sins anymore.
That's right.
It's scary. They don't want to hear it. But you see, to get birthed into the kingdom of heaven, there's got to be something serious that takes place, and they're born. And so that's what we want to just kind of think about. There has to be a struggle. There has to be a dying out. This is the way Brother Branham put it in when he preached birth pains.
Yeah.
And he talked about it. He said, you know, the Scripture tells us there's a new earth, a new world coming, a peace and joy and all that. And he said, in order for the new to come, sister, you go ahead and take it off for now, I'm sorry. For that to come, there has to be a dying away of the old before the new can come. We're looking for a millennium. We're looking for the Prince of Peace. My wife, I said something about that last night. I said, the world is not going to be in peace until the Prince of Peace comes. She said, they've got one. They just won't listen to it. And that's right. But he's going to set up his millennium. And we know that's coming. And before that can come, this other has to go through birth pains. And so he talked about World War I, that was a birth pain. World War II, that's another birth pain. It got more tremendous. What's this next one, World War, going to be like? She shall deliver. So this old is going to pass away and the new is going to come, but it cannot happen without the headlines that you and I are seeing. It cannot happen without the earthquakes and all the things going on. These things must be, because the whole system, it's under Satan's hand there, and everything he touches just turns into mush. So his whole kingdom's got to implode upon him. That's kind of like what's going on now with the financial markets and all that. It's all their systems crashing in on them, because they're not God. So it's all crashing in on them. But it has to be that way in order for that glorious morning that you and I are looking for to come.
Right.
And so he's bringing it, no doubt. He's bringing it to us. But it has to come through a struggle and a dying out of the old that the new can come. There has to be a mourning of one, a mourning as in crying, in order for there to be joy of the other. That's the way it has to work. Now, think about that in our own spiritual walk. Just to be a Christian, just to come to the Lord and have a new birth, there has to be some sorrow. But even after being a Christian, even after being filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a trial in your life. That trial can be birthed. You can birth through that into the joy of what comes after it, but it has to be endured.
Right.
And that's one of the things the Scriptures talk about. He that endures to the end shall be saved. There's some endurance, and this really has a lot to do with this hour we live in right now. There is some endurance, and the endurance is the guy who just keeps right on moving. No matter what happened, he just keeps right on going and enduring the race, and he finally crosses the finish line. You've probably seen the cartoons with the tortoise and the rabbit. The rabbit, he's going to go so fast that the tortoise, he's just taking his time because he can't do anything else. Well, the rabbit gets down there and gets confident. Well, I'll just take me a nap because I'm so far ahead. But he sleeps longer than what he thinks he's going to. And the little old tortoise comes along and wins the race because he got, you know, slothful in his actions or something like that. So you understand what I'm talking about. So even in track, they probably teach you. And when you're running, to pace yourself. Don't just bear down on it at the beginning, because you'll wear yourself out. And then at the end, when you need to really push forth to get across that finish line, you can't do it. So you pace yourself. So that's an example of endurance. We're not going to get out here and just see how hard we can run and shout and do all these things necessarily. That's not what we're going to do. But we're going to be steady and sturdy in the kingdom of heaven, following the word steady and surely, and we'll get there.
Yes.
But we have to endure. So we'll have to endure a lot of things, especially in this hour, to do it. So that's what the mother has to do. She has to endure those birth pains, right? Mm-hmm. I know, because it's like, no, I don't want to do this. But you have to. You know, my wife and I, when we went to the hospital to take her in for having Rachel, and she was 2 weeks over, so they were going to induce. And so we went in early that morning, and we walk into the hospital, and we're going into the area where the rooms are. And we walk through the double doors, and just about the time we walk through the double doors, there's a woman in here, you know, who's having pains, and she lets out a moan, whoa, you know, and my wife whirls around. She said, I forget what she said, but she's like, okay, let's go home, you know. She don't want to, you know, because you don't want to do it.
Right.
We don't. Saints, it's not going to happen any other way. This thing has to be what it is out here in the world now for us to break forth into that morning.
Yeah.
But for us to go into a body change and a rapture, we've got to face some stuff. And the endurance has got to be there. We've got to endure these birth pains and these scary things. And while other men's hearts are failing for fear, our heart's not failing because we are enduring.
That's right.
To the end. See? But it's that endurance, enduring these things, the joy comes in the morning, that birth will come, see? But it's the same way in our walk. It's the same way coming to Christ. You got to be sorrowful for your sin. You got to realize you're filthy, you're nothing.
Yeah.
You're a nobody. Mm-hmm. You're headed to hell without God. You've got to come to that and come into that birth. But even as a believer, we have to realize when trials come our way, endure, keep walking, keep pressing on in the kingdom of heaven, and you will have joy that comes in the morning. And so, got to have birth pains in order to have a birth. And when that birth comes, it produces something. Every birth produces something, right? Pig pen, it produces a pig, right? In the hog pen, or in the field where the cows are, it produces cows. And there's to understand, and in the hospital where people go, it produces people. The birth into the kingdom of heaven produces sons and daughters of God. That's just all there is to it. How do you know they're sons and daughters of God? Because they have that, what we talked about a while ago, they have the attribute of their Father. That's just all there is to it. People can say what they want, but there has to be an attribute of Almighty God exhibited in their life.
Yes.
That means there has to be things about them that nobody else can touch if they're not a child of God like them. There's a totally separate difference between the world and man. Between the religious world and between the world and God's children, and between the religious world and God's children. And so when he births something, when it's a birth, it births something, and in this case, it produces him. Produces his life, right?
Yeah.
It produces his life, the life for your day that you live in. Right now, God wants to express himself, and a new birth in this hour will produce that expression that he desires to put on this earth right now. That's exactly what you'll produce. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, you know, it has to be, we read the quote where he says, it is a revelation. What is a new birth? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Mm-hmm. Right? So, it produces him. And it produces the portion of what he is for your day. And in this day, it's the fullness of him. The fullness of him to be birthed or manifested in this day. And it's together, everything that's in him together. All the ages to be gathered together. That's what the manifestation today is. Because remember, Brother Ram says, it takes this message to resurrect the Lutherans and the Wesleys and the Pentecostals all through the ages. It does. It takes this end time bride clothing herself and putting on that manifestation of this Christ, the fullness of Christ in his bride. That manifestation will cause that resurrection to come.
Yep.
It'll cause them to come out of the earth And so it produces him, and in this day it's to produce the fullness of him, which will gather everything together. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and read. I'm almost done. This is one where you either have to start at the very beginning of the chapter, or you just have to jump in somewhere along the way. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And we're talking about we're being born of the will of God, right? His will. And so now he's going to make known to us the mystery of his will. And that will is that he's going to have him some people, right? So the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Did he go over and say, Satan, you think it'd be okay if I, you know, what do you think? You think it'd be okay if I manifest myself in a people at the end time?
No.
He didn't ask for nothing. He's sovereign. He don't have to ask.
Yeah.
He's sovereign. So, it was his good pleasure. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. Hold it right there. That in the dispensation of time. You know, at work, they changed the cleaning crew. And the cleaning crew came in and they ripped all the soap things out and they put their new soap dispensers. You know what a dispensation of soap is? That's when you push that button and it squirts that glob of soap in your hand. That's a dispensation of soap. It's been dispensed into your hand. Well, God had times, ages. And the scripture says here that when he gets through dispensing out, when he pushes his little button and the Ephesian age comes out, and he pushes his button again and the Smyrna age comes out, and he pushes seven different times, and when he pushes that last time, when all those ages have been dispensed, now what's he going to do? There's that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when he's finished dispensing time, then what's going to happen? Time will be no more. Time shall be no more, right? That'll tie this to that scripture, time shall be no more, right? So when he finishes this dispensing of times, what's he going to do? He's going to gather together everything in Christ. Well, when this time comes to happen, there's people on earth who are in Christ. Because they're children of God, born, had the Holy Ghost. But there's also children of God who have gone on in seven other dispensations. Right? They're children of God. They're in Christ Jesus. But they're what we would consider in heaven or and in earth. They've gone on. So the scripture says that here at this time when all these dispensations of time are done at the end of the Laodicean age, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. What's he going to do? He's going to have the resurrection of those who have gone on.
Yeah.
And those who are alive and remain. They're all in Christ. He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. Right? Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. A great gathering place. A gathering together in Christ Jesus. So that's what the manifestation of God in this hour is to do. Is to produce that final dispensing of the seven church age and then go from that into the opening of the seals. And the gathering together and calling of the names through the opening of the seals, the calling of the names both here and that are in that other dimension. Because remember, he cried, that angel cried and said, let him come forth who's worthy. Right? Who's worthy? And nobody was found worthy in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth. So when that angel cried that, his voice went into all those dimensions and said, if there's anybody up there that's going on, that can come and open this book, let them come.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody in earth that can do it, let them come. And if there's anybody beneath the earth, let them come. And they all said, ain't nobody here that can do it. You understand what I'm saying? And Brother Branham, when he got ready to preach the seven seals, and he was sitting there, I believe it was the breach, and he's going over this, and he said, that angel says, you know, he cries, you know, and Brother Branham said, oh my, maybe I'm just feeling this way. But let him come forth.
Yeah.
And you realize Brother Branham was that angel. Well, he was that one making that proclamation. So So while he's sitting here reading it, that night he made that proclamation, and Brother Branham's voice went into all those different dimensions. God used him to do that and went and said, "Let him come."
Yep.
And nobody could come. He said, "Okay, now we can go and let the Lamb open the books." And that's what happened. You see?
Yeah.
Why? Because the dispensations of time was done, and now it's time to move into this. And this has happened in our day.
Right.
It's not, don't feel like God's left you behind. He's revealed this to you. You know what? There's a quote where Brother Ram talks in Christ is a Mystery, and he said, this great mystery of God, and God only reveals it to the elect.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that can get it. The other ones don't hear it, don't have it. And so, it's the fullness of dispensation time. This is what he's going to do. Okay, you can take it off, Sister English, too. And so what happens? This life that we're talking about, the gift of life, be birthed into this, and it brings to us the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour to do what he's going to do in this hour, and that is to finish up in redemption and take us all home. That's what he's here to do. So if he's working in a people at all, he's moving them in that direction to finish up that calling of everyone together.
Yeah.
And so what happens when this life comes into us? As I said the other day, the bride has to know who she is. She has to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So it brings revelation. It brings the revelation of him, but it brings revelation, knowledge, and the mystery of God, and it's made clear. The mystery of God is finished with her because she understands, see? And so, and he only reveals it to his elect. He only reveals it to his elect, the ones whose names are on that book of life. Lamb's Book of Life. That's who he really reveals it to. That's the book. The Lamb's Book of Life is his record. Because remember, life is a sacred thing to God, and he wrote it in a book. Not that he needs it, a book. But he knows we'll understand what he means. He intends, you know, the writing of the book is a record. Because it don't change. The pages on this paper don't change.
Right.
You know what? The pages on this paper don't change. Because the word don't change.
Right.
Spoken, you can be out here and do all this other stuff, but when it's written down, it's on record. And so the Lamb's Book of Life, that is his record. That's his way of letting you know this is recorded and it's not going to be changed. And so that's what he's done. So he reveals that to us, and when he reveals that, when Christ comes into us, we become the manifestation of Christ. Mm-hmm. And when that comes into us with the revelation of the end time of what he's doing to do at the end, we become the manifestation of him at the end time doing what he's going to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we become the rapture. We become the revival.
Right.
See, in those previous ages when there were revivals, they were the revival. The ones who received it became the manifestation of the revival. So in this hour, he's to come and open the book, and we are to become the actual revealing of that thing that's opened. Because we are written epistles known and read of all men. So what the world should see today is this literal life of God, not just some previous age of some, you know, man who walked up down the shores of Galilee in that form, Jesus Christ then, but the fullness of his word today, that's what is to be expressed in his people in this hour. Don't expect the world to understand it. Because
right.
We can't even understand it in our great matter, hardly. It has to be a revelation that touches our understanding, and then by that we can comprehend it.
Yeah.
Well, but with that anointing off of you, Brother Daniel can probably vouch for this, you can be studying and preparing for a sermon, and the presence of God will come, and man, you could see it. Such a great, clear, detailed revelation of what it is. And then you, after a while, you know, a day or so later or whatever, that anointing leaves you and you go back and look at your notes and go, what on earth? What have I written here?
Exactly right.
And then you have to pray, and once you get caught up in the Holy Spirit, there it is again. It's clear to you.
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about. God wants us to be filled with that revelation of his presence and of his word.
Yes.
Of what's going on in this hour. And when you stay walking in the Spirit of God, these things are clear. You understand. You'll know what to do with the Word, because when you're like that, you're the very manifestation of his Word.
Amen. That's right.
You are that book that's being written and read, that's written and is read of all men. And when does all this happen? Well, it happens at the end of time, dispensation of time. But I'll put it this way, it happens at harvest time.
Yep.
And what happens at harvest time? God's going to do, he's planted his great field, and the fruit comes forth. And I'll tie this to the spoken words of the original seed. Brother Brent says there's three seeds sown. Right? Billy Graham has sown seed. He preached the gospel and sowed his message among the people. Oral Roberts preached the Pentecostal message and sowed his seed out there. And the word has been sown. Now, what's going to come forth from Billy Graham's message? Children to his method. They're going to be birthed and they're going to express what their father did and what the message was that they were birthed under. That's all they can express. They can't come up and express themselves as a nominal church underneath that message of Billy Graham and jump up and then look over and see true wheat standing there and decide they want to be wheat too. They're going to express what they are, and that's all they can express. So they can't change. And so, Oral Roberts, his group, Pentecostal, what are they going to come forth with? They're going to come forth with exactly what their message was. And they'll be the manifestation of that ministry, the fruit of that ministry. And the nominal will be the fruit of that ministry, right? But what shall be the fruit of the ministry of the word that was sown? You see what I'm saying? And at harvest time, they can only produce fruit of what they really are. And that's where we are now. You don't have to worry about whether or not you can produce it. What you need to know is for sure that you're in Christ. And He'll take care of the rest. But definitely we're here at this time where God is saying it's harvest time. It's not time for us to play anymore. It's time for the gospel to go forth in its strength according to what his plan is in this hour. It won't be like what the world thinks. But there will be a people that actually walk with this earth. Like I said the other day, that you'll actually have physical people that you can walk up and shake their hand. They're going to go in a rapture.
Yeah.
A physical people that is the manifestation of Jesus Christ on this earth in bride form. As the bride of Christ, one with Him. And so that's all that can happen here at the end time of harvest time. It's all the bringing fruit. And listen, Jesus told it. He told it in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. He told all about it. And He said, when you see the fig tree putting forth buds, and all the other trees putting forth their buds. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you see something happen, and they begin to put forth the leaves, and they're beginning to manifest because they're in the process of bringing forth fruit, right? That's what happens. They put the leaves on, and it goes on from there. And so when you begin to see these things happen, you'll know. Israel's a nation. Israel's starting to claim her ground now, and all the rest of the world is starting to show who they are.
Yeah.
They're not hiding anymore. The liberal agenda is not hidden anymore. The government who wants to destroy our lives is not hidden anymore. You see what I'm saying? I say the government. I'm talking about the tyrants. I'm not against government. I'm against tyrants. But you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not calling names, but you know what. You see the news and you know what's going on. But the point is, they're not hidden anymore. They have to come out now. These things have to be made clear now. Why? Because it's harvest time. And the bride of Christ has to be expressing herself now. She can't draw back. She can't hold back. Because it's time. So all the trees and all the fruits and all the spirits, everything will manifest itself at this time. And it'll bring an ultimate showdown. Because each seed, you know, when a plant grows and it produces fruit and then it sets there and it ripens, you know, and at some point it's ripe and can be picked. And this is my last point here. It can be picked. And it's got in it the germ of life that it can produce more of what it is. Right? More of what it is. When it's in that form, that fruit's been perfected. You know, the scriptures refer to talk about bringing forth fruit to perfection?
Yeah.
A perfect fruit is one that the life that went in the original seed that brought the thing to first fruit, that same life goes into this fruit, and now this fruit can be picked and it's birthed because it has the ability to go on and produce more and more and more and more seed. So it's birthed. We're fixing to have a birth. There will be birth, and this world's going to, you see what I'm saying? And so that fruit, all that life gets transferred in there. And so I'm going to take it over into terminology that you understand, that the wheat has lain in the presence of the sun and it's got all the greenness baked out of it. So now it can go into the barn. It can go into the garden. Because it's endured that heat of that sun. So it's endured. It's endured the heat of the sun. And it's through that endurance that all that life leaves everything else and goes right into that wheat, into the seed. And when that time happens, you can't find that any life else left in the rest of it. See, because it's all went to the seed. And that's what's happening. And so it'll be a final showdown because all the seeds that's been planted have come to fruit, come to perfection. They are perfect and now going to manifest what they've been all along. They're perfectly going to manifest what they've been all along. Yeah. And so is the bride of Christ. So the greatest thing that God could give us is the gift of eternal life, the gift of life of Himself to come into us and produce what He's all about. It's always been that way through every age, that the Bible was written on the lives of men who God was in them living, and they lived out what became our Bible.
Yeah.
Right? And their lives were, you know, everything in the world all over the place, but that element of God was in there and told His story and has brought that story and led it and brought it right through the ages and brought it right up to you. Right here in your day. And so, we want to hold this in high regard, this gift of life, to say, Lord, I'm thankful that You have given to me the revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour. I want to hold it in high regard, and I don't want to put anything in front of it, which we can so easily do. We want to hold Him in high regard and thank Him for the gift of life. Amen. I believe it. We'll bow our heads and hearts just for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to You now at the end of the service, Lord, we thank You for the ministry of Your Word. Just heavy in the teaching mode, Lord, to show Your people the hour that we live in and what You have called us to. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings of Your Word tonight, and just ask that You would allow us to have it so committed into our heart, so down into our soul, Lord, that it becomes more reality to us than anything else in this world. We thank You, Lord, for being with us tonight, this little service. We pray, God, that You would just add to the people here in this church, bring converts in. I pray, God, that You just get glory to Yourself now. As we get ready to close, we want to just worship You for a little bit. We thank You for what You've done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's all good. We'll sing I Love Him. I trust that you do. And I